Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and more than welcome to our new full-hour radio show, which we are calling the Hour of Smiles. As your master of ceremonies, I solemnly swear that we're going to try to make it 60 minutes of real enjoyment for every member of the family. Later in the program, I'll take you to Judge Allen's cut-rate court, where you'll meet Jack Smart, Irwin Delmore, Lionel Stander, Minerva Pius, Eileen Douglas, and Portland Hopper. I don't think I've ever told you before, but Portland in private life is Mrs. Fred Allen. I just want to mention it so that our many friends who have been so loyal to us on our other series will know that Portland can't get away and that you're going to hear all of your favorites on this Hour of Smiles. For good measure, we'll have more music more beautiful than ever. We bring you the Ipana Troubadours under the direction of your old friend Lenny Hayton, the Salapatica Singers, and also that well-known baritone of radio and the concert stage, Mr. Theodore Webb. All of this in one glorious hour, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, they may laugh when you walk up to the loudspeaker as this program starts, but they will be amazed when you leave your radio an hour later with a college education, a thorough knowledge of the dollar situation, and three tubes blown out. While you're still aghast at this treat in store for you, Lenny Hayden and his Ipana Troubadours will start you dancing around your loudspeakers with I Like the Likes of You. Thank you, Lenny. And now I'm going to ask the Salapatica Quartet...
Flash, Mr. Allen.
And flash to you, sir. Have you got news?
Yes, you're introducing the wrong number.
Now, wait a minute. Who are you?
I'm the picture operator. The newsreels are next.
Say, that's right. Thank you for butting in.
Oh, it's no trouble. I'll butt in again sometime.
Well, I wish you would. Next, ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear the news of the day. As your passe news cameraman, I pry into the nooks and crannies of old Mother Earth for your entertainment and instruction. The screen is lowered, the studio darkened, the camera starts. And we bring you the highlights from the news of the week, the passe news.
The passe news sees nothing, shows all. Abyssinia, Africa. Local wits dance, discuss arrival of prominent American tourists.
Say, Sambo, who that lady I seen you with?
That wasn't no lady, that was Mr. Info.
Yankees training camp. New York plays first baseball game of the season. Doorman throws out first, gate crusher.
Ticket. Hey, you, where's your ticket?
Why, listen, I'm a personal friend of One-Eyed Conley.
Yeah, scram, you muzzler.
Dave Ruth takes his first swing at the ball.
Thank you, folks. I'm going to hit 52 home runs this season. I have to get around the bases on a wheelchair.
Beloit, Wisconsin. Mrs. Wisdom, 71 years young, is cutting her third set of teeth. Mrs. Wisdom.
Is this for the movie?
Yes, Mrs. Wisdom, but you can't talk with that teething ring in your mouth.
Oh, yes. I'm just a cutting, and I do.
Well, tell us how it feels to cut your third set of teeth.
Well, it ain't so hot. I'm 71 today, and a woman of my age ain't got in the business of drooling like a baby and eating spinach. My husband's sore as all get out.
Is that right, Mr. Wisdom?
Well, I don't mind Henrietta spouting her third set of teeth, young man.
That's fine.
But if she starts growing a new tongue, I'm off to Reno.
Albany, New York. Business upswing gains momentum. Passe News gets opinions from men on the street. Thomas Prune, freelance florist, airs his views, and they need airing.
Well, folks, I used to be a white-collar man, but one day my laundry didn't come back.
Never mind. Never mind your laundry. How is business?
Business is great. I've been selling Easter lily bulbs for 20 years, but I never seen things opening up the way they are this year.
Miami, Florida. Mr. Crabb, owner of the Short Boarding House.
I'm getting $25 a day for a room with bowl and pitcher. Happy days are here again.
This news service will be brought to you each week, ladies and gentlemen. And so then, for all of the news that's fit to hear, don't miss our passe service. And now the Salapatica Quartet bring you Great Day.
Great Day.
If I knew anything about music, I'd probably say that was great. But all I know is what Will Rogers doesn't read in the papers. That leaves me the want ads and the business opportunities. And I'll be glad to let you know what's going on from time to time. At least on this hour program, I'll have a chance to talk to you occasionally, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you're going to like this new arrangement, and I'll tell you why. Many people say that you cannot successfully sell two different products on the same radio program, but I don't agree. And that is why I have persuaded the Bristol-Myers Company to try this full-hour show. I know that if we bring you an hour of smiles and melody each week, you'll surely remember the two famous Bristol-Myers products, not one, but two products, Ipana and Salapatica, are making this entertainment possible. And I know that you will be more than willing to hear what we have to tell you about them for our mutual benefits. And now Theodore Webb, or Teddy, as we call him for shorts, when we call him for shorts, Ted Webb and the Salapatica Singers will give us Wagon Wheels.
Trains are rotten here and there, flying machines splashing through the air. Automobiles are shiny and new for
four. Gentlemen, there are smiles you get from Ipana, and there are musical smiles that you get from the Ipana Troubadours playing a medley from Gold Diggers of 1933 with Lenny Hayton at the piano. Thank you, Lenny, and thank you, Troubadours.
You're welcome, Fred.
Oh, that's all right, boys. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you my little show. Tonight, we take you to Judge Allen's court. And while we pause for you to hear from your station announcer, I'll dust off the prisoners and be waiting for you on the bench. Court will open in just a minute.
Judge Allen's chambers. Yeah, he'll talk. You can't stop him.
Hello. Yes. Yes, I try cases over the phone. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Have you got a Bible there? Well, kiss the telephone book. Hello? Hello?
Did they hang up?
No, the operator cut us off. That guy got away with a suspended sentence.
Well, court's ready, Judge.
Say, plug up that knothole in my gavel, will you? It makes a draft when I rap for order.
Yeah, okay. Say, listen, you better put on your ear laps. There's no steam on in the court.
Well, I'll just sit on my hot water bag. Let's go.
Rise, please. His Honor, Judge Allen.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, felons. Here, you. Take that derby off.
I can't take my hat off, Judge. I'm a detective.
What size shoes do you wear?
11 and a half.
Oh, a sergeant, eh?
Yes, Your Honor.
First case. What was that?
A rock, Your Honor.
I know it was a rock, but who threw it?
Here he is, Judge. I've seen him break the window. Here's the brick.
Good work, officer. Well, a left winger, hey?
No, sir. I'm president of the Neverbust Glass Company.
I don't care who you are. You broke one of the courthouse windows.
Well, now, if you used Neverbust Glass, it wouldn't have happened.
Is business so bad you've got to go around throwing stones?
I was just demonstrating, Judge.
Well, now I'll demonstrate. That pane of glass will cost you $5.
Here, all I've got is a $10 bill.
I can't change that. Got any change, clerk?
I'm broke myself, Your Honor.
Well, I can't wait around here all day. Give me that rock.
Here, what are you doing?
Two windows at $5 makes it $10 even.
Okay, here's your receipt. Next case?
Gwendolyn Smoke versus Bill Sykes and Tim Powell.
What's the story, Gwendolyn?
Oh, Judge, these men should be electrocuted.
For what?
Oh, the language they were using in public. I'm stunted. I know I'll never grow another inch.
Well, don't start growing in here. I'll have to send you to a higher court. What happened?
Well, that man with the embroidered ear is a taxi driver.
And I suppose the one with no upper lip is a movie star.
No, he drives a truck. The taxi ran into the truck.
And you say an exchange of banter followed the collision?
Yes. Their language was so bad, a statue of Lincoln stopped freeing two slaves and gave them a dirty look.
Ooh. The discourse was potent, hey?
Why, it finally got so blood-curdling, the fox collar jumped off my fur coat and ran up an alley.
Fancy. Thank you. Bill Sykes and Tim Fowle.
Not guilty, Your Honor.
What was this collision?
It was a slight mishap, Judge.
Yeah, I nudged his vehicle with me cab.
You nudged him?
Yeah. His windshield fell in me lap and we was laughing about it.
I thought I'd die when I found two of his spark plugs in me bridge work. I was hysterical.
What was this menacing chit-chat Miss Smug purports to have heard?
Nothing. We was gabbing away like a couple of debutantes.
I see. Now, what did you say?
Well, ever being the soul of courtesy, first I give Mr. Fowle me card, and then I said, condolences, old bounder.
Yep, that's right. And I says, I'm too sorry, Mr. Sykes.
Then we started laughing and shaking hands.
Did you say anything else?
No. Oh, I asked Mr. Sykes how the cold was affecting
him. And then I invited him to the Huey Murphy Club for lunch.
And that's all.
The gospel truth, Your Honor.
Oh, they're perjuring, Judge. Why, when they finish cursing, you could smell brimstone.
What were the exact words?
Oh, they're not fit for a decent person to hear.
Fine. Just whisper them in my ear.
Oh, you can't use these words as evidence.
No, but I can use them in my golf game. It's terrible lately.
Hubert Pinkbaum versus Minnie Pilch.
Charge?
Shoplifting in a pet and animal shop.
Are you the owner of the shop, Pinkbaum?
You said it, Judge Mattel. And any time you're liking to get a hippopotamus wholesale, come into me.
Fine. If I decide to turn in my last year's hippopotamus, you will certainly get my business.
Yes, I'm selling animals from A to Z, from antelopes to zebras.
But what about this shoplifting?
Your Honor, this woman is coming to my shop to price a second-hand Pekingese.
Yes?
And I'm turning my back to look over some puppies. Then I'm turning around and slap me down. A Maltese cat is missing.
Guilty or not guilty, Minnie?
Not guilty, Judge. This guy is squirrel bait.
Yes, so who's stealing my pussycats or who?
I ain't no cat.
Order, please. Any witnesses?
Yes, Judge, was a little girl standing in a shop. She's right here now standing.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Portland. What do you know about this case?
Well, I was in the pet store shopping for Papa.
Shopping for what?
Well, Papa's raccoon coat has a hole in the elbow.
Uh-huh, from leaning on bars, eh?
I'll intimate mahogany hide-on raccoon skin.
So I've heard. But what were you doing in Pinkbaum's shop?
Papa wants to buy a little raccoon.
Oh, it's just a small hole in his coat, huh?
No, but if he can buy a raccoon puppy cheap, he can fatten it up all summer, and next winter it'll be big enough to make a patch for his coat.
I get it. Did you buy the raccoon?
No, Mrs. Pinkbaum couldn't find the raccoon, but she said she'd let me look at a skunk, so she called Pinkbaum.
Look, again, she's intimating.
Order, please.
Listen, the witness is getting balled up, Judge, my pal.
No, I'm not. His wife said they were all out of raccoons, that they expected some eggs in any day.
Listen, raccoons done coming from eggs.
Here, order, please. Continue, Portland.
Well, when he said eggs, I thought about getting some ostrich eggs for Grandpa.
Does Grandpa like large omelets?
No, but he's nearsighted, and I thought I could make him some colored ostrich eggs for Easter.
Say, he could see those all right.
I'll intimate. Last year, Papa bought an ostrich to get the eggs direct.
Doing away with the middleman, eh?
Well, Judge, how am I doing with the cake?
Yeah, I got a meet, Judge. I got a ticket for the cat show.
You hear that, Judge? She's not only stealing my cat, she's putting him in a cat show.
Order, please. Do you think the defendant is guilty, Portland?
I don't know anything about the lady's character, but I saw a porcupine peeking out of her pocket.
Oh, it's a lie, Judge. It wasn't no porcupine. It was the pincushion I lifted in the 5 and 10.
Well, if it was, the pincushion was breathing.
Here, order, please.
I don't like to be buttoned in, Judge, but you please give me a decision. The Blue Eagle says I'm closing up in 15 minutes.
She took the cat, Mr. Pinkbaum. She's guilty of pet larceny.
Here, you can't say that.
Well, look in her coat.
I'm innocent, Judge.
What's that lump in your coat?
Oh, must be something I ate.
And I suppose that tail hanging out of your sleeve is a hangnail.
Evelyn to mate. Look.
Here, search. Search her, matron.
Oh, come on.
Here, get.
There he goes.
Come here, pussy. Oh, he'll never find the store. He ain't got the address. Here, get it, get it.
Why, I'm crazy about animals.
You're so fond of animals, I sentence you to 30 days in the Bidawee home.
Come on, Minnie, get on.
Do I get sentenced, too?
No, you can go back to the pet shop.
That's well. I think I'll get Grandpa a peacock for Easter now.
It'll save you a lot of trouble.
I'll join in. The peacock will lay the Easter eggs already colored.
Well, goodbye, Portland.
Peek-a-boo.
Next case, Philip Waddle, and pass the case down.
Here, here. This is a cafeteria court. What is this, officer?
I found him singing hymns outside of a church. Your Honor, I was in no condition to go into the church, so I was holding the services outside.
You were holding your own services?
Yep, that's right, Judge.
Fine. Now I'll take up the collection. $10.
Okay, start the order.
You reached down to pick it up, didn't you?
Certainly. But just as I was sniping it, somebody stepped on my right hand and broke off two of my fingers.
Did that affect your piccolo playing at the opera?
I should say, and all through the performance, I was blowing sour notes.
That's all, Mr. Scale. Madam Pizzicato.
I'm not guilty, Your Honor.
Be quiet, Wince. Now, Madam Pizzicato, you sang at the opera house that night, didn't you?
Oui, Your Honor. Oh, it was terrible. The piccolo plague threw me off key.
As I understand it, your obbligato ran amok.
Oui, oui. The audience, they hiss at me. The gallery, they throw alligator pears. Oh, my career, she is finished.
Everything happens for the best. That's all, madam.
I'm not guilty!
Quiet, Quince. I'm not through with you yet. Next witness... Duncan McTavish.
Hey, Your Honor, right here.
Mr. McTavish, you were at the opera that night, weren't you?
Hey, and Hootman, I never heard such screeching and howling.
Where were you sitting, Mr. McTavish?
In the gallery, of course. The robbers charged me 25 cents.
Now, tell us what happened when Madame Pizzicato's obbligato went awry.
Well, I started hollering for my money back.
Hollering from the gallery?
Hey, I was prepared for the worst. I brought my megaphone.
I see. And in your excitement... Order, please. And in your excitement, you leaned over too far and fell out of the gallery into the orchestra.
Aye, Your Honor. I fell into an empty seat.
And then what happened?
Well, the usher came up and he said, that seat will cost you $8.80. Then everything went black and I fainted.
That's all, Mr. McTavish. Mrs. Van Vanderpip.
I'm not guilty!
Quiet, witch! Now, Mrs. Van Vanderpip, you were seated next to the empty chair into which McTavish fell.
Yes, Your Honor. I was holding that seat for my husband. He hadn't arrived yet. Oh, my poor husband.
Please, please, madam, control yourself. I'll see that justice is done. Now, when Mr. McTavish fainted, he slumped over with his head on your shoulder.
Yes, and that's when my husband came in. And when he saw a strange man's head on my shoulder, he went mad with jealousy and he killed himself.
I'm not guilty!
We'll see about that. Senator Flounder.
Yes, Your Honor.
Senator, you knew Mrs. Van Vanderpip's husband.
Yes, Your Honor. Mr. Van Vanderpip was a very important figure on the stock exchange.
What effect did his suicide have on the market?
Why, it caused prices to tumble, wiping out billions. Banks and factories were closed. Millions were thrown out of work into the breadlines. The whole world was shaken into a state of great chaos from which it is only now regaining glory.
I'm not guilty, Judge!
No, Casper Wentz. You are not guilty of smoking a cigar in the subway. But mark you, you are the wretch who threw the butt that tempted the man, that crushed the hand, that played the piccolo, that spoiled the song, that caused the man to fall out of his seat and faint on the shoulder that belonged to the woman, that married the man, that fired the shot, that killed himself, and started the crash that caused the depression that may result in another world war.
No, no, I'm not guilty, no.
I sentence you to 5 years for maiming the piccolo player.
No.
10 years for ruining Madame Pizzicato's obbligato.
No.
15 years net for wear and tear on Mr. McTavish.
How about my 25-cent refund?
99 years for the murder of Mr. Van Vanderpip.
No!
And life at hard labor for treason to your country.
No, let me go! Let me go!
Oh, Your Honor, Wills has killed himself.
Killed himself? That'll be 10 years more for contempt of court.
This is Judge Allen's chambers. Send him in.
Who is it?
Some foreigners here to see you.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning.
This individual you are calling a judge? Boy.
Something tells me you're guilty before we meet.
No, I'll explain. This is the Count of Vornicek.
Formerly in the service of His Imperial Highness, Tsar Nikolai Nikolovich of Royalist Russia.
Well, come to the point quickly. My gavel is getting cold.
Your Honor, we brought the Count here to be tried for not killing Rasputin.
Why, Count, you might go to jail for that.
Very lovely. You see, ever since Soviet Russia has exiled all the nobles of royal blood, I have nothing to do. Absolutely nothing. So I would love to go to an American prison and study whittling.
Well, you want to be a whittler, hey?
Precisely. Who knows? Maybe I could even learn to be a chiseler. Ho, good joke.
Well, come into the courtroom and I'll try your case. Just follow me.
Rise, please, His Honor, Judge.
Never mind that. Clerk, never mind that. Call this murder case.
The people versus the Count of Dvornicek.
Prosecuting attorney is ready.
I am ready, too. I will defend myself.
You say the Count is accused of not killing Rasputin?
Quite so, Your Honor.
It's a very serious charge. Call your first witness.
Very well. Abram Pinsk.
Yes, sir. Abraham, Johnny on the spot.
Take the stand. Now, Mr. Pinsk, who killed Rasputin?
I killed Rasputin.
I object.
On what grounds?
It is irrelevant, immaterial, impossible, inconsequential, and an insult.
Objection overruled.
Your witness, Count, you may examine him.
Okay. Now, my honorable Mr. Pinsk from Minsk.
Yes, my pal, anything you are asking me, I am telling you.
What was your precise position in Royalist Russia?
I was the second vice president of the Society for the Prevention of Rasputin. You are putting your foot in that time.
I am putting in nothing.
Gentlemen, just answer the questions, Mr. Pinsk.
Okay, Judge, my legal friend. What am I asking? I'm answering.
I am answering. Who killed Kakrab?
I killed Kakrab.
I object.
I pass. Now here, wait a minute, boy. Call the next witness.
The Countess of Dvornicek, second cousin to the Romanov and grandniece of the Rubinov.
Come in, darling. Don't rush me.
Take the stand, my little onion. Judge, this is my wife.
Wurlitschka,
this is the judge.
Ah, pleasures. Judge, I am so delightful to meet you. Oh, you must come in to see us sometime. How's by you and the family?
Now, madam, did your husband kill Rasputin?
Did he kill Rasputin? Can a duck swim?
Here, don't change the subject, Countess. What do you know about Rasputin?
All I know is what I see in the movie.
Ignorance is no excuse, madam. Count, take the stand yourself.
Okay, George. As you say in America, I'll tell you the whole story. From soup to nuts to you.
What happened the night Rasputin was killed?
Well, it was like this. A bunch of the Cossacks were whooping his hat when in walked that dangerous monk Rasputin. He goes right to the free lunch camp.
Yum, yum. Now we're getting someplace. What happened?
So, first I put poison on the chief, but the rat wouldn't eat it. Then I set fire to his beard. Oh, but his face red.
Watch your vernacular, Count.
Well, then I give him some poisoned wine. Then I run him through with my saber. Then I shot him 46 consecutive times. Then I threw him into the river.
What did you do then?
Then I killed him.
Your Honor, I'd like to examine the defendant.
Go ahead, look me over, kid.
Now, Count, you didn't actually do all those naughty things to Rasputin, did you?
I did. I killed Rasputin.
Why, you wouldn't harm a fly.
Is that so? Show me a fly. I'll tear it to pieces.
Just a minute. How tough are you, Count?
I will show you. You see this bomb?
Here, wait a minute. Put that down.
I will
I'll explode this bomb in my bare teeth.
I say, Judge, the Count has blown himself to pieces. What shall we do?
You better sweep him up. I'm sending him up the river for 10 years. Are the two products that stand back of the Hour of Smiles. And now Lenny Hayton, the Ipana Troubadours, and the Sal Hepatica Singers, Love is Love Anywhere. And that brings us to a medley of songs from a famous show of yesterday. I know many of you recall the musical success Sally with music by Jerome Kern. Remember Leon Errol with the wobbly legs and Marilyn Miller with their charming songs and dances? Well, sir, Ted Webb, the Sal Hepatica Singers, and Ipana Troubadours, under the direction of Lenny Hayton, are ready with a medley from Sally. Before I open my question box, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all for attending our first Hour of Smiles. If you've enjoyed the music, if we've brought you a smile or two, we're very happy indeed.
And in that connection, Mr. Allen, if I may interrupt, I'd like to remind our listeners of the two products which bring them this Hour of Smiles. The first is Ipana. Why don't you begin the use of Ipana tonight? Brush your teeth with it and wear a smile that shows teeth gleaming white. Massage your gums with Ipana. Keep them firm and healthy. Don't have pink toothbrush. Get a tube of Ipana. Remember, too, the benefits of the other product that stands behind this Hour of Smiles. The product that brings you the smile of normal, buoyant health. The mineral salt laxative, Sal Hepatica. Ipana, Sal Hepatica. Remember both products when you think of this program and speak to your friends about it. Together they make this program possible. Ipana and Sal Hepatica. Thank you. And now Mr. Allen ambles over to his question box.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Well, the question box still has no word from Dillinger. But this postcard mark delivered under protest comes from Mr. Jack Roach at St. Louis, Missouri. Mr. Roach says, quote, "Some years ago, during a tonsil operation, the family doctor accidentally removed my Adam's apple. So many people ask me about the missing apple that I had to grow a beard in self-defense. Now the beard is so heavy, I cannot find my mouth in it. During meals, I keep sticking forks into my cheek, and when I try to eat soup, my beard looks like a well-dunked beaver. Can you help me?" Unquote. You have come to the right party, Mr. Roach. The beard problem is so old it has whiskers on it. To help beard owners with the soup dilemma, I have invented a combination comb and soup spoon, which is getting excellent results at House of David banquets. The comb starts at the nostrils, and when the mouth is reached, the spoon tips up and empties its contents. Or, if you don't care to buy one of my combination comb and spoons, you might try saying walla walla during your meals and inserting snacks of food as the mouth opens wide on the first syllable, wah. If all of this is too much trouble, Mr. Roach, how about fasting for 3 days? On the morning of the fourth day, pass a bit of toast nimbly around the outskirts of your beard. As your mouth snaps at the toast, you can insert a bookmark. Now that you have the place and the time, how about a sizzling hot platter of dropped eggs on ladyfingers? Oh, Mr. Roach, if you do have a problem pecking at your peace of mind, ladies and gentlemen, why not send it to me on a postcard? And I shall be happy to show you the way out, even as I have shown Mr. Roach the way in tonight. This is Fred Allen saying good spelled Ipana, night spelled Sal Hepatica. And don't forget, next Wednesday night, the Hour of Smiles brings you comedy. Drama.
Chris, you Nellie Bly, take that.
Weather reports.
Thursday fair, probably followed by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Stock market advice.
Put it away and forget about it.
And music.
2 weeks from tonight, ladies and gentlemen, on April the 4th, the makers of iPana will announce on this program, The Hour of Smiles, complete details of a dental charm contest open to every girl and young woman in the United States. 3 winners will receive 3 trips to the Chicago World's Fair. Winner of first prize will be the official dental charm girl of the Century of Progress, 1934. Next week, tune in on The Hour of Smiles for another riot of fun with Fred Allen, music by Lenny Hayton and the Ipana Troubadours, the Salapatica Singers, and as an added attraction, a charming guest star, Miss Norma Terrence. Among the musical selections heard on this program this evening were included I Like the Likes of You from the New Ziegfeld Follies, Rise and Shine from Take a Chance, and Who from Sunny. This is the National Broadcasting Company.